الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، أما بعد، فنحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى، نحمد الله سبحانه وتعالى فيما من علينا. We praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى for that which He has favored us with and blessed us with gatherings of ilm, reading, translating, taking benefit from the books of the people of knowledge. And here, alhamdulillah, we've reached the fourth, I believe, lesson as it relates to the Sharh of Al-Waraqat, using predominantly the explanation of Sheikh Al-Alama, Al-Faqih, Al-Usuli, Al-Mutafannin, Muhammad ibn Salih, Al-Uthaymeen, Rahmatullahi alayh. His Sharh of Al-Waraqat, we use that, and also we use the Ta'sis fi Usul Al-Fiqh and some other books of Fa'ida as it relates to Usul Al-Fiqh bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, we reached Arafna Al-Ahkam Al-Taklifiyya. We now know, first of all, the rulings as it relates to those things that are upon the creation or upon the abd, the slave, and also the wada'iyya, which we're going to do inshallah in the next couple of weeks. Naam, so alhamdulillah, previously we've also done al-wajib, al-haram, and now, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we've reached al-mandub. We reach al-mandub, which is preferred. Yani al-mandub. And Imam al-Haramain rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, ما يثاب على فعله ولا يعاقب على تركه مثاله الوتر. مثاله الوتر. He said, rahimahullah, in his definition of al-mandub, he said, is that which the action is rewarded, and the individual who does it gets a reward but doesn't get a punishment if he leaves that action. And the example of this is Salatul Witr. Naam. So this is what he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, for the definition of al-mandub. Regarding this, bi'idhnillah, we've got a few points that we would like to address pertaining to this important affair of al-mandub, yani preferred acts of ibadah. Point number one is ta'rif al-mandub. The definition of mandub, lughatan wa istilahan. The definition, ta'rifu al-mandubi, lughatan wa istilahan. The definition of al-mandub as it relates to the Arabic language, linguistic definition, A. And B, the definition of al-mandub as it relates to the legislation. And we will compare B here with the definition of al-Juwayni rahimullah here in Waraqat. Naam. So, the definition of al-mandub lughatan is al-mad'u. Al-mandub, al-mad'u. And also, al-mad'u li-amrin muhim. Yani when somebody is invited or requested to do something that is important. Nadaba fulanun fulana ayda'ahu li-amrin muhim. Yani an individual called another individual, da'ahu li amrin muhim, called another individual to something that is important. Something that is important. So it's called Al-Mad'u. Al-Mandub. Al-Mad'u. The one that is called. The one that is called. As for the definition, as is mentioned by the ulama of Al-Usul, again, which is, does not go totally in accordance to that which Joanie is mentioning. The definition is, and I'm sure you remember from previous lessons, is ما أمر به الشارع لا على وجه الإلزام. ما أمر به الشارع لا على وجه الإلزام. And that is that which the legislator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has commanded, that which Allah has commanded, or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded, but it's not made incumbent, it's not made a must that that must be done. It's not mandatory. So it's that act which Allah has commanded, but not in a mandatory way, and not in the mandatory form. Like the rawatib. Like the rawatib. For example, the sunnah prayers of Fajr, of Dhuhr, Dhuhr, Maghrib and Isha, مثلاً. These are considered mandub, mandubat. These are considered that which Allah has commanded upon the revelation, Naam, but not a commandment which necessitates it being mandatory. This is the definition. هذا تعريف. هذا هو تعريف للمندوب. هذا هو تعريف للمندوب. This is the definition of mandub. Point number two. Point number two is an example of mandub. The example of mandub. So point number one was a definition. We mentioned a definition. Point number two is an example of mandub. An example, as is mentioned by Al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, Al-Witr. That's mandub. And likewise, we mentioned in the definition previously, Al-Rawatib. Those prayers other than that which has been made obligatory in the five prayers a day. As the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'atha Mu'adhan ila al-Yaman. وفيه قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أعلمهم أن الله افترض عليهم خمس صلوات في كل يوم وليلة. And teach them, يعني after they've established the shahada, after they established لا إله إلا الله and accepted it, then teach them that Allah has made it obligatory upon them five prayers in a night and day, in a day and night. So those rawatib, those prayers other than that, those five prayers, are considered like the rawatib and al-witr, are considered mandubat, are considered preferred acts of worship which Allah has commanded and encouraged that one must do in the revelation, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has encouraged it, but not an encouragement which necessitates it being mandatory, not that encouragement alladhi yastalzim bihi al-wujub. Naam, not obligatory. This is mandub, and these are the two examples, one that Al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, and another one that we mentioned on top of that, as Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned in other works. Point number three is hukmuhu, or thamaratuhu. What is the ruling? What is it that comes out of this ruling here? Al-Mandub. What happens? What happens to the person who falls into this? Or what happens to the person who does this act? What does he get? What's the thamara? What are the fruits? This is, and in fact, the statement here that Juwayni mentions, this definition that Juwayni mentions, where he says, مَا يُثَابُ عَلَى فِعْلِهِ وَلَا يُعَاقَبُ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ. Naam. That which the one individual, he receives a reward for doing. Naam, but doesn't get punished or taken to account for ala tarkihi, for leaving it. Naam. This is in reality hukmuhu. وثمرته. This is the fruits. These are the fruits of the definition of al-mandub. And as we mentioned previously, the definition of al-mandub is ma amara bihi al-shari'u la ala wajhi al-ilzam. This is the ta'rif. This is the definition, ya ibadallah. This is the definition. That which Allah has commanded, but not in a mandatory way. But the fruits that come from it is that the one that does it gets a reward, and the one that doesn't do it doesn't get punished. But we want to bring a faida here, ya ikhwatil kiram. And that is what some of the ulama have mentioned as it relates to al-mandub, this thamara that we mentioned. We want to add something that the ulama have mentioned, and that is مَا يُثَابُ عَلَى فِعْلِهِ امْتِثَالًا. مَا يُثَابُ عَلَى فِعْلِهِ امْتِثَالًا. نَحْتَاجْ إِلَى هَذِهِ الزِّيَادَةِ يَا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ امْتِثَالًا. That which the individual, he rewards, gets reward for doing it, امْتِثَالًا, doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. امْتِثَالًا, يعني sincerely for Allah, seeking the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُعَاقَبْ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ. And he's not taken to account for if he leaves it. But he gets reward, امْتِثَالًا. He gets reward, امْتِثَالًا. And this is it being sincere. Similar to this important addition, امْتِثَالًا, which Juwayni didn't mention, but the shuruhat of al-waraqat, the ulama have mentioned this addition, and that is imtithalan. So you can put that there, imtithalan, where Juwayni says may yuthabu ala fi'lihi. If you can write after that, imtithalan, imtithalan, yani sighat al hal, hal, yani haluhu yamtathilu. His state is that he's doing it, seeking and complying to the command of Allah, seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, man sama, man qama laylatul qadr imanan wahtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. The hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, man قام ليلة القدر وفي رواية من صام رمضان ومن قام رمضان. Whoever prays in the night of decree, imtithalan. Oh, sorry, iman, iman and wahtisaban, with iman and ihtisab, seeking the face of Allah, the past sins will be forgiven. Naam, seeking the face of Allah. This is an important addition showing the ahmiyyah of ikhlas and showing that tawheed is incorporating in all funoon, all sciences as it relates to the deen of Islam. There is always a tawheed involved in that, and this is here tawheed, yani al-ikhlas. This is tawheed, imtithalan, al-ikhlas. Now, point number four that we're going to mention here, barakallahu feekum, is the different names and muradifat of al-mandub. Yani the different wordings and synonyms that are used by ahl al-ilm fi kutub al-ilm fi kutub al-fiqh as it relates to mandub. It's important that the talib al-ilm yata'arraf ala istilahat ahl al-ilm wa muradifat li ba'd al-mufradat. It's important for the student of knowledge that he knows the terms that are used by the scholars in different ways and forms pertaining to specific definition words and so forth. And as for mandub here, you find in the books of fiqh that the word sunnah is used. The word sunnah. And this is something that you find in the tongues of the awam. That they say sunnah, yani it's not obligatory. And that which needs to be understood here is that the talib ilm has to know that there's a difference between sunnah according to the istilah of the usuliyin, according to the people of usul and fuqaha, And there's the definition of sunnah according to the ulama of hadith, and there's the definition of sunnah according to that which is muqabil, in opposition to bid'ah. So we have to know which sunnah is intended here. The sunnah in the books of fiqh, the books of fiqh and usul of fiqh, in some regard the meaning here is mandub, sunnah. That's the definition, that's it here. Not sunnah as in the way of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that is obligatory to follow that. Or rather is the sunnah meaning al-mandub, ma amara bihi al-shari'u la ala wajhi al-ilzam. This is a sunnah. Number one, a sunnah is another word for mandub. Number two, the ismu maf'ool li-sunnah, masnoon. Masnoon, this is another word, masnoon. And the third one is mustahab, mustahab, preferred. Mustahab, preferred, is another word used for mandub. And another word used for mandub is nafla, or nafl, and nafl, yani. This is a nafl, and this is something which is used frequently by the awam, and is now well known. This is one of the, barakallahu fikum, the terms used for a nafl. As for sunnah, we find it used, the word sunnah for mandub, used in the statements of some of the sahaba, in the statements of some of the sahaba, and a sunnah, but the sunnah here used by the sahaba means wajib. It means wajib, and that is that we have to understand the ahkam pertaining to that statement of the sahaba, and with that we understand what he means. For example, the statement of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, where he said, "Min as-sunnati idha tazawwaja al-bikra ala thayyib an yuqima عندها سبعا من السنة إذا تزوج البكر على ثيب أن يقيم عندها سبعا." And that is the statement of Anas ibn Malik, where he said it's from the sunnah that if a man who has more than one wife and he's married a woman who, for example, she's a virgin, then he has to stay with her for 7 nights. He has to stay with her for 7 nights. And that's in the state where there's ta'addud. Obviously, when it's other than ta'addud, he's going to stay with her anyway. But here, the messenger, Anas ibn Malik, he said, min as-sunnah. And this min as-sunnah here, it means wajib. It means obligatory. Min as-sunnah. And this here, as we studied in the ilmu hadith, is mawquf. Sorry, it's marfu hukman. It's marfu hukman. It's as if it's a statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's obligatory. Min as-sunnah. Yani, from those affairs that's obligatory, is that he stays with her for 7 nights. Naam. So we have to pay attention to this, ya ikhwati al-kiram. But umuman, when it's used in the books of usul al-fiqh, the sunnah is pertaining to mandub, as is nafal, mustahab, masnoon, na'am. And then we move on, barakallahu fikum, to the fourth ahkam or hukum takleefi that Jawaini mentions, rahimullah ta'ala, and that is al-makruh. Al-makruh, yani disliked. Al-makruh, disliked. And he says, rahimullah ta'ala, in here in Waraqat, he says, ta'rifuhu من حيث هو مكروه ما يثاب على تركه امتثالا ولا يعاقب على فعله ويقابله المندوب مثاله الزيادة على الثلاث في الوضوء. He says رحمه الله تعالى والصلاة في الأرض المغصوبة. He says رحمه الله تعالى that makruh, disliked as it is, as it pertains to its definition, is that which the individual gets a reward for leaving. He leaves it, this disliked affair or this disliked act, the individual will get a reward for leaving that disliked act imtithalan. Yani, he leaves it for Allah. وَلَا يُعَاقَبُ عَلَىٰ فِعْلِهِ. And even if he was to do it, he would not be taken to account for doing it. And it is considered the opposite to mandub. As wajib is the opposite to haram, makruh is considered the opposite to mandub. And that is clear if one reflects upon the definition of makruh and its thamara. And he uses an example through his ijtihad, and that is az-ziyadatu ala thalathi fil wudu, yani doing wudu and instead of doing it wudu, repeating it more than three times, yani washing the face and the arms and the feet more than three times. Al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, he says this is an example of something that's disliked. This is an example of something that is disliked, which we'll deal with inshallah ta'ala bi'idhnillah. Now, regarding this, ya ikhwati al-kiram, we're going to deal with a few points. An-nuqtatul ula, the first point is the ta'rif, the definition of makruh. The definition of makruh. Obviously, again, that which the mu'allif he mentions, rahimullah, is as we mentioned before, is are the fruits of this of a definition. So we need to now emphasize the definition of al makruh, logatan, according to the Arabic language, linguistically, and according to the istilah, according to that which is known as it relates to the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So as for the definition linguistically, the definition is al-makruh al-mubghad. Al-makruh lughatan al-mubghad. Al-mubghad yani diddul mahbub. Al-mubghad yani something that is hated, not liked, which is opposite to something that is loved. Something that is mubghad, yani hated, disliked, which is opposite to something that is mahbub, something that is beloved. B, as it relates to the istilah, na'am, the definition that Juwayni mentions is not the definition of makruh, but rather it's the fruits. The definition of al-makruh istilahan huwa katali. Ma naha anhu al-shari'u la ala wajhi al-ilzam bitark. Ma naha anhu al-shari'u la ala wajhi al-ilzam bitark. And that is that which Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited, but not in a mandatory form. Yani, it's not mandatory to leave that thing that's been prohibited. It's a prohibition, but not that prohibition that has reached the level of it being haram. مَنَهَا عِنْهُ الشَّارِعُ لَا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْإِلْزَامِ. That which Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, legislators, have prohibited, not in a prohibition that necessitates leaving it obligatorily. Yani, it's not obligatory, mandatory to leave that act. So it's a prohibition that's not of the level of haram. It's a prohibition that's not of the level of haram. Why? Because of the statement in this definition, لا على وجه الإلزام. The definition of haram is ما نهى عنه الشارع على وجه الإلزام. The definition of makruh is ما نهى عنه الشارع لا نفي لا على وجه الإلزام بترك. That's the definition of al-makruh, that which Allah has prohibited, but not a prohibition that's at the extent of it being mandatory to leave that act. To leave that act. Now, point number two, the example, mithal, an example of al-makruh. An example in the in fiqh as it relates to something that is makruh is al-akhdhu bil-shimali wal-i'ta'i biha. Al-akhdhu bil-shimali wal-i'ta'u biha. And that is giving something to someone with your left hand, or taking something from someone with your left hand. Why? Because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the example that we brought here, barakallahu fikum, is not, we didn't bring eating with your left hand as an example of makruh. Why? Because the correct opinion is that it's haram to eat with your left hand, but rather we brought an example of taking something from someone with your left hand and giving with your left hand. And Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala brings an example of waving or greeting someone or acknowledging something to somebody with your left hand. For example, you're driving and somebody signals you salam, and then you raise your left hand to them. This is considered makruh. As for eating or drinking with your left hand, this is not an example we can use for makruh. Why? Because of the hadith and Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu fi sahih Muslim annahu qal an Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal la ta'kulu bishimal fa inna shaytana ya'kulu bishimal. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, do not eat with your left hand, because verily the shaitan, he eats with his left hand. So here the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam says la ta'kulu, do not eat. This is nahi. So this is nahi man naha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam anhu ala wajhi al-ilzam, that which the Messenger has prohibited with a prohibition that is a must, that it must be left. This is haram. So we cannot use this as an example of makruh, as some people may use. But rather, the example of makruh is raising the hand to somebody, or taking and giving with one's left hand. It is bad manners. It is not befitting. It is makruh. But it is not at a level in which the individual will get a sin if they fell into that. It's not at the level where individual will get a sin if they fell into that. Point number four. An-nuqtatu rabi'ah. And that is حكم المكروه وثمرات تعريفه. That is the ruling of makruh as and the thamara that is taken from the definition. And this again, as I'm sure you've preceded me in mentioning this amongst yourselves, and that is that the definition of Juwayni rahimullah here in al-Waraqat is actually the thamara, not the ta'rif. And that is ما يثاب على تركه امتثالا ولا يعاقب على فعله. And that is that which the individual is rewarded for leaving it, seeking Allah's face, and not take into account, he won't be taken into account falling into it or doing it. Now, and again, امتثالا is mentioned, seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, imtithalan. And that is that it's important, because some people, for example, they leave something because they are unaware that it's makruh in the first state, in the first instance. They have no ilm that it's makruh. So they leave it, and them leaving it, leaving that makruh act, they don't get a reward for it because they didn't leave it imtithalan. Ma tarakuhu imtithalan. Seeking reward from Allah, complying and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's no reward for this individual. So again, showing the importance of ikhlas, and showing the importance of a niyyah. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Verily, actions are by intentions. Now, فَإِنَّ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى. So verily, for every individual is that which he intended. So he didn't intend to leave this makruh, so therefore, he doesn't get the reward for leaving it. Now, again, re-emphasizing the importance of tawheed, even here while we're doing usul al-fiqh. Barakallahu fikum. Point number five are the different words or names that are used for al-makruh. the different meanings that are used for makruh, rather. And that in makruh, barakallahu fikum, according to the mutaqaddimeen, according to the earlier scholars, makruh was used for haram. Makruh was used for haram. And this actually is in the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, كُلُّ ذَلِكَ كَانَ سَيِّئًا أو نعم سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. And that is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of that which, you know, the previous things that Allah mentioned from shirk and being and so forth, he says, all of that, yani, is evil with your Lord, makruha, yani haram. سَيِّئُهُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ مَكْرُوهًا. So it is makruh. Here, yani haram. So according to the Quran, makruh is used as haram. And according to the ulama al-mutaqaddimin, like Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, and those before him as well, is makruh. So the talibin, when they read the books of fiqh of Imam Ahmed, the fiqh of the Hanbali fiqh from the kalam of Imam Ahmed, has to measure the statement of Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala to his istilah and to his usage of makruh, as is used by the mutaqaddimeen to mean haram. So therefore, an individual, he reads something, he says hadha makruh, and because he's not aware of the istilah and the usage of Imam Ahmed for makruh, he assumes that it means that it's allowed for him to do it and he won't get a sin. But rather, it is haram. Which is like which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Isra. Now, I hope that is clear bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, then after that, barakallahu feekum, we go to the fifth and final hukum, ruling a taklifi, of those actions that are pertaining to what the abd will get from these actions, or what he shouldn't do or do or allow to do regarding these actions. And that is al-mubah. And if we remember, barakallahu feekum, al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, he doesn't mention mubah after makruh. Rather, he mentions mubah after sahih wal fasid. But in fact, the tartib should be straight after makruh. Why? Because this mubah allowed actions are part of the ahkam at-taklifiyya. So it's befitting that it's mentioned together. So therefore, in the explanation of Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, is done so here. Al-Juwayni rahimahullah, he says, ta'rifuhu min haythu wasfuhu bil-ibaha. ما لا يثاب ولا يعاقب لا على فعله ولا على تركه. He said, rahimullah, that the definition من حيث وصفه, as it's described and its description, is إباحة, يعني permissible. ما لا يثاب على ولا يعاقب على لا على فعله ولا على تركه. ما لا يثاب ولا يُعَاقَبُ لَا عَلَى فِعْلِهِ وَلَا عَلَى تَرْكِهِ. And that is that which he doesn't get a reward and he's not punished, whether he left it or he done it. He doesn't get a reward, he doesn't get a punishment, whether he does it or he doesn't do it. Upon leaving it, he doesn't get a punishment. Upon doing it, he doesn't get a punishment, and he doesn't get a reward for neither. This is the definition that Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions for Al-Mubah. What we're going to do, bi-idhnillah, and this is the last part of today's jalsa bi-idhnillah, is mention a few points pertaining to al-mubah. The definition, first point, is ma'na al-mubah lughatan wa istilahan. The definition of al-mubah linguistically and according to that which is mentioned and extrapolated from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So A, the definition of al-mubah lughatan, huwa al-mu'lan wal-ma'zun fihi, yani that which is made open and that which is allowed, permitted. something that has been made permitted for someone. That is the definition of al-mubah linguistically. As for the definition of al-mubah istilahan, it's similar to, we have a definition here that is mentioned by Sheikh Muthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala, where he says, مَا لَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِهِ أَمْرٌ وَلَا نَهْيٌ لِذَاتِهِ مَا لَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِهِ أَمْرٌ وَلَا نَهْيٌ لِذَاتِهِ. And that is that thing which is not related to any command or any prohibition in its essence. That thing which is not connected and linked to any command or any prohibition in its essence. This is the definition of al-mubah. Again, the definition that Al-Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala he mentions is not the definition, rather it is the fruit, that which is extrapolated and results from the definition of al-mubah. And so therefore the definition of al-mubah is ma la yata'allaqu bihi amrun wa la nahyun lidhatihi, that which the command and prohibition is not connected to it in its essence, meaning without any addition, without any other components, just in its essence there is no a relation, connection with command, and there is no connection with prohibition, which makes it different from all the other four that were previously mentioned. مَا لَا يَتَعَلَّقْ بِهِ أَمْرًا, that which is not connected to a command, this makes it different from wajib, which is connected to a command. And that command for wajib is a must that is done. And it's different also from al-mandub, which is connected to a command. But that connection with the command for mandub is not a connection which means you have to do it. And likewise, wala nahyun, and it's not connected to prohibition. And that again shows it's different from Muharram, which is connected to a prohibition, in which is a must that one leaves it. And it's not connected to a nahi like al-makruh is connected. Al-makruh is connected to prohibition, but not a connection which necessitates a must, or that is a must to leave that act. So the definition again, مَا لَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِهِ أَمْرٌ وَلَا نَهْيٌ لِذَاتِهِ. Point number three, مِثَالُهُ, an example of this is like الأكل في رمضان ليلة. الأكل في رمضان ليلة, and that is like eating in the nights of Ramadan. Not Maghrib, not Iftar, la. Iftar is wajib. But rather after Iftar, the eating between after Isha, Maghrib, ila Fajr and so forth, this is Mubah. But as for Suhoor, this is not Mubah. This is Suhoor is Muta'alliq bil Amr, it's connected to a command. Tasahharu, naam. And some ulama say it's obligatory, some others say it's mustahab, but it's connected to the command. But as for eating other than the times of suhoor, and eating in other than the times of iftar, this is called mubah, it's allowed, it's permitted. Naam. And also an example that Juwayni he mentions here rahimahullah for mubah is labsu thawb makan an akhar, and that is wearing a thawb and then changing and wearing another thawb, or shurbu bihadha al-kub, or drinking with this cup and drinking with that cup. And he mentions tahriqul yadain kharij as-salah, or moving one's hands in other than salah. This is mubah, it's allowed. There's no command and no prohibition connected to it. Lidhatihi. The next point we're going to mention, barakallahu feekum, point number four, is the thamara. It's the thamara and the fruits of the definition. And the fruits of the definition is the one that Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, ما لا يثاب ولا يعاقب لا على فعله ولا على تركه, that which the individual does not get a reward or a punishment whether he does it or he doesn't do it. That which the individual doesn't get a reward or punishment whether he does it or he doesn't do it. Na'am. But that which needs to be mentioned here is again connected to al-ikhlas and connected to al-niyyah, and that is that al-mubah can become mustahab. Al-mubah can become an affair where the individual gets reward rather, if his niyyah is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as the examples that Juwayni rahimahullah ta'ala he mentioned, such as drinking, eating. If drinking is in order to increase one in ibadah and strengthen ibadah, and one drinks in order to have the strength to seek ilm and so forth, this is something which is rewarded, wa yuthabu alayh, because of the niyyah. Which is why the definition of Shaykh al-Alam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymin rahimahullah ta'ala for mubah, that ma la yata'allaqu bihi amrun wala nahyun li dhatihi. This addition, li dhatihi, is important, because li dhatihi means that it's not connected to command or prohibition in its essence, without any external factors. But if there's an external factor like a niyyah, like an intention and so forth, therefore the mubah turns to something other than that which is known as mubah, into something that is mustahab, pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the individual gets a reward. The individual gets a reward. Point number six, I believe, is, or five, lost count. The point number six or five is the different meanings or istilahat and synonyms used for al-mubah. And that is, for example, halal. One of the istilahat that is used is al-halal, that is halal. Mubah yani halal. Another word used for mubah is halal. And jaiz and so forth. And jaiz yani permissible. And permissible. Point number six is some examples that we want to mention it for regarding to mubah. Yes, we said that mubah, that has no connection to a prohibition or command, but in some conditions it may do depending on external factors. As we mentioned, the niyyah is an external factor which changes, intention changes the mubah into something that is, could be mustahab, pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, there are certain affairs that are external in itself that can affect the mubah. I'll give you some examples in our daily lives. An example of this is business. Okay, ahallallahu al-bay' wa harrama al-riba'. Ahallallahu al-bay'. Allah has made bay' halal. Again, this verse shows that halal is another word used for mubah. Ahallallahu al-bay'. Allah has made transaction halal. So fil asl fi dhatihi is mubah. Now, but now this, listen to this scenario. Listen to this scenario. Rajulun, we know a man, na'rifu annahu yahliqu, or an individual, we know that he's a barber and he shaves people's beards. Ihfu liha, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in an amr, command, leave the beard, which is, means it's obligatory to leave the beard. But this individual, we know that he's a barber and he shaves beards. And we have a dukan. هل نستأجر هذا الدكان؟ هل يستأجر منا هذا الدكان؟ Does he rent this place from us? Do we allow it? Is that bay now halal? The answer is هذا حرام. لأنه استأجرها لعمل المحرم. Because he is renting that place for an affair that is محرمة, and that is shaving the beard. So yes, bay is halal, it's mubah, lidatihi. But now there's an external affair here, is that we've done this, this individual's done this transaction with somebody else to buy that shop, to buy that dukan, to buy that place, But he knows that this individual is going to use it to cut beard and shave beards. So now it is haram, and now it is haram. We have many examples of this. Many examples of this. But we leave it with this example here and bring a qa'idah. نختم الدرس اليوم بالقاعدة. We all seal today's lesson in Mubah with a qa'idah. And that is the four principles, simple principles inshallah, regarding Mubah. Al-qa'idatu al-ula, number one, or qawa'id. Qa'idatu al-ula, al-mubah. إذا كان وسيلة للمحرم فهو محرم. If something mubah is a means that leads something to something haram, then that issue that is initially mubah is now haram. As we mentioned regarding the shop being sold or rented to an individual who shaves beards as a barber. قاعدة ثانية, المباح إذا كان وسيلة للمكروه فهو مكروه. So if the mubah is a means, the mubah in its essence is, the thing is mubah in its essence, but it's a means that leads to something that is disliked, then it is now makruh. It's not mubah any longer. It is disliked. Likewise, number three, qa'idatu thalitha, al-mubah idha kana wasilatan lil-wajib fahuwa wajib. And if something is mubah, but it's a means of attaining something that's obligatory, then it's obligatory. An example of this is praying in a masjid. Walking is mubah. Walking is mubah. It is halal to walk. But if you need to walk to get to the masjid to perform and pray the obligatory salah ma'al jama'ah, hadha mubah asbaha wajiban. This mubah is now obligatory. Al-mubah idha kana wasilatan liwajib fahuwa wajib. If the mubah is a means to complete an obligatory act, and permissible act is a means to fulfilling an obligatory act, then it is now changed to obligatory, not mubah. And that's like walking, which is allowed. Walking is allowed, halal. But if it's needed in order to pray in a masjid, then that walking becomes obligatory. And likewise, al-mubah idha kana wasilatan limustahab fahuwa mustahab. Yani mubah is a means of attaining something that is preferred, then it's preferred. And that is like seeking ilm of fara'id, seeking ilm of inheritance, where there is somebody in your country or city or neighborhood or vicinity that has studied inheritance, but you want to yourself increase in your knowledge in inheritance, and you need to walk to the dars. So you walk to the lesson to study inheritance. Now this walking, which is in its lidhatihi, in its essence, is mubah, is now become mustahab. It's preferred because it's a means to attain something that's preferred, and that is studying that specific science, for example. So therefore, this is the ahkam that we need to be aware of as it relates to al-mubah. And that is that lidhatihi, in its essence, it's no connection to prohibition or command. So therefore, the fruits of it, that there is no reward, no punishment, whether it's done or it's left or alone, then there is no reward or punishment in that regard. But however, if an external issue comes in, as we've mentioned here in these four principles, and also that which is underlying all of it is the niyyah, is the intention, then therefore the mubah changes from it being that affair where there's no reward or punishment, to being that where there's a reward or there is a punishment, or it is disliked or it is preferred. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in aql and intellect, in that we turn the mubah affairs and those things that are permissible to that which is pleasing to Allah through the strength of our niyyah and ikhlas, inshallah ta'ala. We'll continue next week with the ahkam al-wada'iyya, al-sahih wal-batil, and so forth, inshallah, next week. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq in acting upon that which we've read. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.